Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. It is August 24th, 2020. Do you know where your country is? Because I'm telling you, I have no idea where we're headed. I don't know what we are supposed to be, what we're going to be. All I know is that we are being intentionally taken apart. We are being intentionally reconstructed, and none of us going to like the end result. For those of you marshmallows out there running around in fear wearing a mask, they've come out, even the CDC, the Department of Defense, the World Health Organization, and have said they're absolutely useless. They will not protect you from a virus should one exist, but they will make you terribly sick. So put that mask on and breathe deep, you damn fool. We're going to be talking tonight again. John LeCron has joined me, and for what I hope will be a regular show on TS Radio. And we're going to be talking about a lot of things, as always. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is the power that is being exercised by state and federal government that they're not actually entitled to. So are we required to abide by it? These edicts they pass out, they are getting into areas that they have no business being in, and nobody is challenging them on it. So with that, John, welcome to the show. He's not talking. Wait a minute, he's probably got me on mute. But it just, I don't know what's happening there. John? Well, anyway, we'll go on here and see if we can't get this fixed up. Okay, he's going to call back in. I had gotten from Lost Horizon site, and I have it up on the PPJ, and it is the keys to several states' constitutions showing that the state, your governor, your mayors have no right to pass these lockdown edicts or wear a mask edict or any of that stuff. They don't have any right to do that. And it's unconstitutional, and this is according to your state. Now, Lost Horizons is in the process of setting this up for every state. Every state has this provision. This is outside of their powers. So, John, have we got you this time?
Well, I'd like to think so. I thought we had it for the last time. You got me coming through 5x5 now?
Yeah, you're coming through just fine. Just fine.
All right.
Go ahead.
No answers for you, hon. I did not have the mute button set. That was me talking and nothing happening.
Yeah. Nothing happening.
Anyway, other than you talking, say, why is I not here, John? And John saying to me, I'm here, please listen to me. You know, but, you know, I'm sure we have some visitors. Big Bud always likes to pay attention to what you and I are up to. You know, we're such a society being that we're actually do things like free thinking. What I was saying was that there's at least a few of us out there fighting the powers. When we file paperwork and we do all these other things that are just making like complicated and exposing all the corruption, it does make a difference because they have to acknowledge it. Once it gets put on the public record, they can't just arbitrarily pull it. Okay.
Right.
There's a attorney that actually has some integrity up there, in Canada, and he has done a massive lawsuit against all of them up there with regards to this hoax.
Wow.
And believe you me, it's not a joke. I watched a video about it a couple weeks ago, actually. And believe me when I say this, the attorney was not only very well schooled in all of the proper language and what to do, But he was also incredibly funny, so the interview was quite entertaining as well. So it made it nice to sit there. Let's see if I can find him. Okay, I did say it. Oh, and by the way, folks, if you get an opportunity, I want to click on this link too. There's something called Plandemic 2 Indoctrination. Plandemic 2 Indoctrination. And you can find it on Brightion. When I tried to publish that on my Facebook, they would not let me tag to it, okay? So that's 1 hour and 15 minutes of hard-hitting facts that just literally rip the guts out of this COVID-19 hoax, because it goes into all the players behind the scenes. And you've already heard me and Marty talk about this. We mentioned the fact that Fauci and Gates are behind the scam. But this Plandemic 2 indoctrination movie, it does more than that. It goes back even farther by showing you where the patents are being played with, why these patents that were applied for don't apply. Because, one, you cannot patent nature, and you've already heard Marty talk about it on the show before, that with regards to patenting life, it's not possible. You're not permitted to do that. But once the Gates injects you with his garbage, now it's your DNA. And Marty has reminded you folks of that. So now he controls you because he controls your DNA, because his garbage has modified your DNA. All right? So keep that in mind, folks. And the other part is, if it's not that and it's something quote-unquote man-made, well, again, now we're talking biological weapon-making. Again, a big no-no, right? So either way this is playing out, and you've already heard me and Marty talk about it, we call it a hoax, but in either case, this is a criminal enterprise from the get-go, from the very start. And remember, folks, when you're sitting there and looking at Fauci, you better realize his history. He's been a good old boy, and he was behind the hoax with regards to the AIDS epidemic also. And here's the thing. Again, this particular show, Plandemic 2 Indoctrination, it shows you where the money is. Major game. And we keep hearing that it's the Chinese, and then we keep hearing, no, it's the Americans, and they're both pointing at fingers at each other. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what if both of them are telling the truth?
Yes.
What if
yes.
What if it was Americans playing the game and saying, okay, we're cutting too close, and we can go to real jail cells for this, so we're just going to ship it over to this other little location overseas in China. And the Chinese, of course, stand up and say, yeah, we'll do that, no problem. Okay? So we have a situation here, but again, they are deliberately killing off the population. They are deliberately separating people. They have deliberately caused people to be emotionally distressed. We have psychologically scarred the younger parts of our generations. No mistake, folks. Remember, they scarred past generations by having them all jump underneath their school desk because of a quote-unquote nuclear attack. Well, this is just the modern-day version of it. This is called trauma-based mind control, people. Trauma-based mind control. Google it. There's your facts right there. Because
John?
When people are scared... One second. When people are scared...
Okay.
They do not think critically. Yes, ma'am.
Wasn't this whole PSYOP, and it is a PSYOP, developed
yes.
in the 1970s by the CIA? Didn't they start it on the Afghanis? And the social distancing and wearing a mask and not letting them speak to one another, and many of them committed suicide. It was actually developed and tested out there. And you know what I think the next step is going to be? Now that they've got the whole country acting stupid as hell, is they're going to activate Operation Moonbeam. And I've been watching this one for about 10 years now. And this is that holographic program. This is part of what the chemtrailing was about, to create the silver-based screen for a hologram. And what they're going to do, they did this also on prisoners. They made it appear as if like Allah showed up in their cell and told them to cut their own throat or just cooperate, whatever. And a lot of them just dropped over dead out of sheer shock. But the program is designed to send, look as if your Messiah of choice is coming down out of the heavens telling you to comply and obey, that's what he wants. And they've tried it out at different places. In Copenhagen, for that treaty, that big spiral showed up in the sky that looked like something flew down the middle of it. That was Operation Moonbeam. They were testing it out. But this is what I think the next phase is going to be. If people actually start rising up, and like they did in Berlin, where absolutely tens of thousands of people packed those streets and said no more on the lockdowns, the mask, and this whole hoax. And that was just here about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And I think if we were to do that there, that'll be the next move. I truly do. But that's just my thoughts on it. Go ahead.
And you're very much correct, especially with regards to doing that to prisoners in Afghanistan and stuff like that. They've been doing it, and they use that a way of getting people to give up information. You know, once you get mind control, once that mind control is properly established, you can make any demands that you want to, and they follow through with it. Why do you get people that voluntarily walk around with bombs strapped to their chest and blow themselves up in the middle of a crowded room? Okay. Mind control. I mean, what kind of logic or reason is that? And again, if people aren't aware of the mind control that the CIA was involved in back in the 60s and 70s, and of course that all came out of the Nazi era, you know, a lot of those scientists ended up coming and moving on over here with Operation Paperclip. But
yep.
Folks, this is such a big story, and yet at the same time, the story is not permitted to go out. This is the reason why they cannot permit there to be any disagreement. Because if you sit down and you have a debate, you put up the people that believe that the hoax is real versus the people that don't believe the hoax is real, and you let both camps produce their evidence and say, here's the evidence, you folks make the decision. And you've heard both Marty and me tell you this again and again and again. Don't believe a single thing that either one of us say. This is talk radio. This is talk radio. We can say whatever the hell we want. We're just a entertainment, according to them. Okay? But you better start looking critically at what we talk about and then say to yourself, you know, maybe I need to do a little more research, and maybe those two crazy people over there on Blog Talk Radio actually have something here. I don't know, just a thought. So anyway, but the subject matter that Marty really wants to get into today is the legal side of this issue. Okay, and I do want to get down that road. But before I do, I want to add one other thing, and it was very intuitive. Okay, a friend of mine named Curtis Kallenbach, he has done an incredible amount of work on the legal side of this fraud and this corruption. He was very important in teaching me a couple of the finer points that has really created the dagger that has caused the crime syndicate, bar mafia, such pains and aggravations when I deal with them. But he reminds people that the mask that they are wearing is something else. It's symbolic of something else. The symbology is for a corporate veil. A corporate veil. And you people have already heard me talk about capitis diminutio maxima. Capitis diminutio maxima. Maximum loss of status in Latin. That's your all capital letter names. It's on all of your bills from the IRS and all of your bills from the electric and gas company. That's on all your bank statements, okay? That's not you people. That's your corporate fiction person. That is your trust that was set aside for you. Now, what they try to do is they try to form joinder between you, the man, or you, the woman, and your person to get you to contract with them, because that's all these kangaroo courts are contract offers. Remember that. Even crimes are contract offers. All crimes are commercial. 27 CFR 72.11. Let me say that again. All crimes are all about money. 27 CFR 72.11. Look it up yourself. It's all about the bid bond, the performance bond, and the payment bond. They couldn't care less about, quote-unquote, punishing somebody. Because who are they punishing for the most part? If you go into your average jail where people are serving a year or less, it's not for things like assault. It's not for things like robbery. It's not for things like grand theft auto. No. Too many of them are in there smoking a plant or running around without a quote-unquote piece of laminated plastic with a picture of their person on it. Okay. We have gotten to such a degree where everybody has gotten confused about what the difference between rights are and what duties and responsibilities are. People, I've told you before, and I'll tell you this again, your rights are whatever you say they are. Let me say that again in case it went over your head. Your rights are whatever you say they are. Up until you get to the point where you violate someone else's rights. Think about that. So as long as whatever you're doing, even if it's the stupidest thing in the world to do, like injecting yourself with the heroin, the cocaine importing agency, a.k.a. the CIA, is importing into this country via the military, you have the right to do that. It is your right to do that. You can be stupid. There's no crime to be stupid. Now, Marty and I would encourage you not to be stupid, obviously. But again, we're not going to sit here and dictate our morality to you. Okay, you have life choices. Life is always about choices. You get a million choices a day of what you're going to do, what you're going to have for breakfast, you know, who you're going to hang out with, whether you're going to go into work or call in for a sick day. You know, any one of those things. Life is about choices. But once you choose to do something and it causes harm to another man or another woman or to the environment in which they live, which could turn around and cause harm to them, like poisoning your water with chemicals, like poisoning your water with Fukushima radiation, which I would like to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, is still spewing into the ocean as we speak, decade later.
Oh, my God.
Come on, people. We forget about this stuff, but I'm telling you, you don't think it's having a massive effect? It's having a horrendous effect. You're getting all of those fish over there that are highly radiated. They're coming with tumors. You can sit there and run a wand over them, and, I mean, you just think that there was a nuclear warhead that just went off next to them. Well, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? One did. And it's going off every single minute, every single day, all of these years. And it hasn't stopped. And it's not just over there by China and Japan. Oh, no, ladies and gentlemen. It's moved its way all the way to California, and it's slowly moving this way, all the way towards the East Coast. But again, we're all worried about a thing that Marty and I like to call the hoax. Distractions, ladies and gentlemen, to take us away from the things that really matter. And you've heard me talk about it on the show, folks. All these distractions, they are all about redirecting our attention away from what's really going on. And what's really going on is this. The economy was already crashing. The banks have been on the last legs for years. I've been amazed at how much they've been able to get away with. And the only reason they've been able to get away with, because they've been manipulating every market on the planet for so many decades, it takes a while for all of their corruption to topple them. Well, that time has arrived, ladies and gentlemen. This is the global economic reset that they were talking about in 1988 in The Economist magazine that showed the Firebird coming out of the ashes of all the burning currencies at the time. And around its neck, it had a gold medallion, and that's not a coincidence, gold. with the year 2018. That magazine cover was 1988, ladies and gentlemen. And I've already mentioned it on this show. They love numbers. Now we're here in 2020, that's 32 years. Well, 2021, when they plan to implement it, that's 33, ladies and gentlemen. And, oh, they really love that number 33. Not a coincidence, my friends. And you can call it conspiracy theory if you want to, but when you got the World Economic Forum talking about the global economic reset, maybe you might want to take attentive notice of it. You know, just casual suggestion, you know. Maybe I'm just a little bit crazy, you know. I hang around Marty too much, so it's a possibility. Any
that
thoughts on
nice.
That, Marty?
No. It's probably true. You know, what? Tell me what the number 33 means.
All numbers have meanings, okay?
Right.
September 11th was prevalent with the number 11. I mean, it was so blatant. It was everywhere, everywhere. And those numbers divisible, okay? So the number 3 and the number 11, you use those and multiply those together, you get 33, okay? 11 is symbolic of the Antichrist. Okay, now I don't care if you believe in the Antichrist or not. I don't care. Okay,
yeah.
Because in the big picture, it doesn't matter because they are moving towards having a quote-unquote one-man world leader, all right? There is the issue. And numerology is part of the game of these really big boys. Okay, the number 7 is perfection, and there's a few other ones. And off the top of my head, I can't tell you what 33 is representative of. All I know is that they love that number. I mean,
okay.
It's the big one. That is their big one. You can Google it, and if I remember, I'll bring it. I'll look it up and discuss it on the next show even.
Okay.
But in a nutshell, here's where we're at, folks. Marty is sitting here having a conversation about this very important issue about what can governors, what can mayors, what can city council people, what can these people actually do? What can they actually do under the guise of health? Okay. So let's overlook the fact that these quote-unquote tests that they're doing are not designed to do what they're doing to begin with. Let's overlook the fact that all these quote-unquote cases, oh, we have all of these people that are testing positive for COVID-19. And I would sure like to know who has the patent on COVID-19 or the patent for the word. I'm not talking about for the genetics. I'm talking just the word. I haven't looked that up. I meant to do that too. So, because, you know, that's worth a few billion right now. So anyway, but here's the issue. While they're playing their little games and they're doing all these things and they're making all these quote-unquote executive orders, I demand, slaves, you will abide by my commands. This is where we're at. But here's what I remind everybody of. All of your corporations masquerading as government, that's United States Corporation, 28 United States Code, 3002, Section 15A, look it up. Your state of subsidiary corporations, state of Tennessee, state of Michigan, state of California, all those have their own subsidiaries, county of, city of, township of, okay? These are all corporations. All of them, your police department, your shire, reef department, sheriff, these are all just corporations. Now, if the president of Walmart walked out one day and says, I command you will have a license, you will turn in your guns, you'd look at him like, who is this guy talking? But when the corporation known as the United States has a president that comes out and says those same things, yes, master, yes, master, and you bow.
Yep.
And then you go every couple of years and vote for your slave master and say, yes, master, please don't be so cruel to me. And when it is the other guy that gets in instead of your guy or gal, you know, it's, oh, my, woe is me. We just didn't vote hard enough this time. Listen, folks, if you really need a leader, you really do need help. Okay? Because look at what these corporations are doing, okay? And let me remind everybody, de facto and de jure. De facto, that's imitation. Looks like fact, but it's not. And de jure, that's the real deal. Now, you've all heard me badmouth the Constitution because it's not what they say it is, and you people are not party to it, contrary to your personal opinions. You're not party to it, and you really don't want to be a party to it, because if you're a party to it, well, that makes you a 14th Amendment corporate debt slave. That makes you responsible for the debts that the United States Corporation has been accumulating. That makes you responsible to doing what your corporate owners tell you to do as an employee. I mean, if you want to do those things, you've already heard me talk about it earlier on the show today. I mean, I have no problem with slavery as a concept. If you want to be a voluntary slave to the system, hey, who am I to tell you no? The problem is when you take your voluntary slavery to your system and try to shove it down my throat, or turn around and use military to impose your slave system onto me, that's where the problem lies. Through your heads, people. When you go and you vote, you are declaring war on your neighbors, and you are actually warring against the republic that you pretend that matters. You're actually warring against it. You've forgotten that there's a series of several different constitutions out there. Okay? You have the original 1789 Constitution. Okay? Then you have the newer 1870-something version. And coincidentally, they dropped that 13th Amendment from the original one. Why? It was called the Title of Nobility Act. It meant certain people couldn't be in office. Those certain people had titles of nobility coming from England. Why? Well, for those of you that have listened, you've heard me state on this show already that we lost the Revolutionary War.
Who said that?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we lost that war. Whether you want to believe that fact or not is not my problem. Go ahead and just read the peace treaty. It was written in 1783. The king was the victor. Therefore, he wrote the document. And read what it actually says. I don't give a hoot about what your quote-unquote history books say, because as you know, history is story, is written by the winners. Well, maybe it's a little more convenient to convince the slaves that they won the war so they won't be such irritating asses as the years go by. But if you sit there and you read that little document, you discover that the French are now being ruled by the King of England. Well, gee, that's interesting, considering the French were allies at the time. Well, gee, if they were allies, then why weren't we making sure that the King of England wasn't ruling France? Oh, that's right, because we'd already subdued and surrendered. Why were their armies, plural, and navies, plural, still on American soil and out of American seas? If we had won the soil, wouldn't they have run back to England with the tail between their legs? Yeah. And we forget that a lot of those people wearing red coats were our neighbors down the street. Yeah. And if that isn't enough to convince y'all, well, just read what it says. The quote-unquote loser is telling the quote-unquote winner that the loser is giving us permission to keep our cannons. Isn't that nice of them? Come on, people. Please wake up. What is a constitution? A constitution is a corporate charter and is a debt instrument. What is a constitutor? Someone who agrees to pay the debts of another. What is the constitutor members? The states, a.k.a. countries, at the time, which were, again, corporate charters granted by who? Oh, yes, the King of England. Oh, gee, we want to forget that dirty little secret. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they were just business enterprises. Okay. Now, did the King of England give some autonomy to the states? Yes, he did, as long as certain terms were met. which they want, by the way. And what was that thing that they created out of all of this mess? They created a 10-square-mile area, which I like to call the District of Criminals. What is a district? Something smaller of a bigger thing. You know, Washington, the District of Columbia. You've also got 10 square miles there. Then you can go on across the ocean there, and you've got the City of London. That's 1 square mile. It's not London, the city. It's the City of London, 1 square mile. That is your banking, and that is your legal side. The military side is Washington, D.C. And then, of course, you have the Vatican. And that is your religious side, and that's the one that controls the corporations. And there you have it. You have your triune, quote-unquote, God right there, ladies and gentlemen. But again, you know, I'm just a conspiracy theorist. None of my facts matter, right? So they had to do this thing because they needed a place. They didn't want the same European wars, France and Germany and Spain all the time shooting at each other, okay? They didn't want that over here. And they had to pay war reparations to England. Again, read the daggone 1783 peace treaty, please, ladies and gentlemen. Do a little bit of research, just a little. We had to pay war reparations back. Makes sense. We lost the war. They're in the driver's seat. So what we needed to have a central point where kings and queens would come on by, and then you had all these states that were sending their people up there in the form of congressmen. And remember, the state legislatures were the ones that were sending their 2 senators. We didn't get to use to vote on senators. That's a new thing. That was post-collapse in 1933, if I remember.
Is that right? John,
either way,
I knew that at some point in time we didn't vote. Weren't they picked by the governor?
They were picked by the state. They were picked by the state legislature.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And let me get the exact date on that. Date U.S. senators first chosen by voters. 17th Amendment proposed in 1912, ratified on 1913. Okay, so it was the same era that they did the Federal Reserve. Gee,
okay.
All this crap came out in 1913. You know. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Bad year.
Yeah.
Bad year.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do. But again, going back to what we're saying earlier, because we're getting way off hand and way off track of where we wanted to take this show tonight. Governors, what is a governor? Gouverneur, that's a military leader. Okay, that's literally what their job is, to be a military leader. And they're giving their dictates to the quote-unquote people. Now, what they call executive orders, got the President of the United States Corporation doing it, they've been doing it for years. Well, an executive order, they used to be limited to, okay, this is my White House now. I'm here, and my executive order is make sure that the cook makes steak tonight. Next week, I want pizza, and the week after that, I want something else, fish. That's an executive order within his scope of ability. Yet when he makes an executive order that says blanket statement of everything outside of 10-square-mile District of Columbia, then that becomes a problem. And you had that happen with Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he recalled all the American people's gold in 1933 and shut down the banks, made the deal with all the governors and said, have I got a deal for you? And yeah, he did send a letter to all the 50 governors. Well, actually, it wasn't 50 at the time. I think it was 48. But the point of the matter is this. You have a system that has been built from scratch for the sole purpose of exploitation and controlling slaves. And the slaves have started to become too big of a problem and have started to cost too much money to manage. And right now, who is the target audience that Marty talks about all the time? It's the old people. because most of the wealth that isn't controlled by the 1% or the 3% is controlled by the average man or woman that has spent 40 or 50 years scrounging together their pennies to buy a little bit of a home that has increased in value, bought a few stocks here and there that have split a few times, and, you know, pays a little bit of a dividend and does all that stuff. So even the little old lady that was not making a whole lot is now worth $1 or $2 million. And we're not even going to talk about the bonds that are behind that little old lady, because those are worth millions upon millions, if not in the billions. Okay? We've forgotten that there is power in numbers. This thing called compounding interest is very real. All right? It is very real. And when you sit there, and I've said it before, you can go through your entire life making nothing but minimum wage. You never got a single pay increase your entire life, and all you did was work 40 hours a day, week. But if you just squander away a little bit of that, squirrel it away before it's all over said and done with, you can have compounded that into your $1 million with literally no effort. If you watch your budgets carefully. I had a friend of mine, I'll bring this up and then get back on track. I had a friend of mine, he was a sheriff's deputy out the west somewhere, and he knew this guy that basically lived out in the middle of nowhere in a old trailer that didn't mean much of anything. He was basically unemployed, had been his whole life. He went around collecting cans and stuff like that. And that's how he survived. And he had two other brothers. Now, the two other brothers were, quote-unquote, very successful. They were very well taken care of because they worked hard. They built their own businesses and stuff like that. And they disliked this brother, so they never associated with him. Well, one of the local churches actually interacted with the man on a very regular basis. And while they interacted with the man, that was great. He, you know, got to know, have people that were friends there and such, and all was well. Well, it came to be that the man died. And my friend was working that particular area, so he knew the gentleman when he had died and what had happened after that. Well, it seems this man had been taking him dimes that he'd been making and collecting all those cans and all the other stuff that he'd done, you know, a little bit here and a little bit there. And since he was living a very frugal lifestyle, he had no overhead, right? Running around on a bicycle, basically. He wasn't paying insurance and doing all this other crap and paying, you know, $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 for a gallon of gas. And just turning around and buying stocks. And his two brothers were incredibly annoyed at the fact that, one, their brother was worth more than the two of them were combined. And two, he left it all to the church because the two brothers had ignored their other brother. Gee, think about it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a joke of a story. That's a real story. Okay, I know the gentleman that told me it. Okay, he knew the people involved. So what we're seeing here with this global economic reset and what we're seeing here with the executive orders coming out of these governors and stuff like that, they are trying to control the damage that is taking place. They are trying to bring down a plane that is literally coming crashing straight down and trying to do some kind of a crash landing. And it's not going to be easy. And there's going to be a lot of people that continue to suffer and a lot of people going to continue to die. You have cases of suicide. We had a guest host over there with Kyla Davenport yesterday. 13-year-old girl was our guest host there at Kyla Davenport on blogtalkradio.com. And she talked about her neighbor across the street, a woman in her 30s. And this woman in her 30s committed suicide because she was depressed because she couldn't go out anymore because of the governor's orders. And she had to wear a mask and all this. That woman wasn't unique. We're seeing that across the board. I shared a video about a week ago, I think. It was a man that was doing a really pleasant rant against the city council. But what really bothered me about his rant is he was holding those criminals at the city council accountable for their COVID-19 hoax was the fact that he mentioned that several of his acquaintances with military history had committed suicide also because they had lost their job. Folks, if you do not know what a soldier, I like calling it a soldier, goes through, especially in today's society where they're sent off to kill foreign people for, you know, banking profits, they need something resembling stability. And having a job to go through keeps their mind off of the fact that they had to do very bad things to people that probably did not deserve it. Okay. And when it all comes down to it, you have all these people that are dying, whether it's suicides, whether it's depression from being, you know, locked away from family and friends, this 6-foot rule garbage. Okay. Remember, we love interaction with each other. We love those hugs. We love those handshakes. We love those kisses. We love the interaction. We're social creatures. Men and women are designed to interact with each other in a pleasant manner. And we do not like interacting with each other in an unpleasant manner. That unpleasant manner can be killing one another, or can be simply just, you know, having a verbal disagreement over some little garbage. Don't care what. But in the end, we all have to be accountable for everything that we're doing. And one of the points I keep trying to drive home with people is this. You are dealing with a situation right here, right now, where when you consent, you are consenting to slavery. You are consenting to having somebody outside of your direct sphere of influence influencing you, all because he stood on a podium somewhere with a bunch of cameras stuck in his face, pounded his fist, and said, "You shall do what I say or else." No, people. The most powerful word in the vocabulary that you each have is the word no. You know what? We need to start learning to say it a whole lot more often. No. No. See how difficult that was? No. You shall go forth and kill in the name of your God. No.
Mm-hmm.
You shall use our Federal Reserve notes.
No.
You shall send your children to our public indoctrination centers.
No. Think about it, people. Please, back to you, Marty.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is the whole thing, too. Like I said, you know, in the opening of the show, I cannot believe the people in this country who have just gone to their knees and said, okay, you want me to stay home? I will. You want me to wear a mask? I will. And all of our business is closed, but for some reason, Walmart could stay open. The casinos could still run. The liquor stores could stay open. But your local bar, I just saw a notice for Minnesota that there were 200 new cases of COVID, and they all traced back to bar patrons. And they listed the bars they had been in. Supposedly, they're all small-town bars. So you figure at max, there might be 20 people, 30 people in it at a time. As opposed to Walmart, where there's hundreds of people in it at a time, but supposedly nobody contracts COVID at Walmart. And not everybody's wearing a mask, because I certainly do not. And there's no big blow-up of COVID there. But all of our businesses, I keep trying to explain to people, John, what they're doing is taking apart our local economies. The only thing running are big corporate stores, but they're getting rid of all of the places where you might all go to Walmart, but you don't talk to anybody there. But you go to your local restaurant, your little diner, your little breakfast shop, a bar, whatever. You're going to see your friends and neighbors there. You're going to talk. It's the last thing they want. They do not want you talking. One of the things I learned after we had that tornado up there in Minnesota, I was stunned that after we got hit with an F4 tornado, just absolutely destroyed that small town. This was in the afternoon. At 11:30 at night, the electricity came back on. I thought, this is bizarre. The whole town is destroyed. So I went to Homeland Security for some reason, and I'm looking for, you know, anything and everything. And I find where they claim it is imperative that in the case of a disaster of any kind, that power be restored as quickly as possible, because if they don't, people might come out of their houses and start talking to each other, and this could cause problems. So when I see this repeated in this scamdemic, and you know, that's another part of it too, John. Here they've been caught inflating the death rate, counting everybody who died of anything in the death rate. They get caught, you know, the bodies stacking up at the hospital turned out not to be true. I mean, all of this mess we have gone through these months, shoving the sick people, supposedly sick people, into the nursing homes. And within 10 days, everybody in the nursing home is dead. But what came out about that was after they shoved the supposedly six people in there, bear in mind, everybody in the nursing home is forced to take a flu vaccine, which the Department of Defense said was laced with four different strands of COVID, one of them being the one that produces this terrible pneumonia. 4 days after they shoved these people in there, hospice shows up because they're used to dealing with death. And when they left, everybody was dead. Now, do you think they died of some virus, or do you think they were euthanized? They were euthanized. This is a war on the elderly, people who are chronically ill, people who might be mentally ill. We've got two states now, Wyoming and I believe it's Connecticut, that have passed laws that you can starve the mentally ill to death and those with dementia to death. You don't have to deal with them. But we see this stuff surfacing everywhere. But about 3 years ago, flying back from D.C., I picked a book up in the airport called White Trash. And it's the 175-year history of the United States that you don't hear about. It preceded black slavery. And it's when England cleaned its streets of all of the poor and, you know, prostitutes, people that were in jail, orphans, and shipped them over here to the new land that they had graciously given out to nobles in 20 and 30,000 acre tracts, a land that wasn't theirs. They needed somebody to work it, thought the Indians would, and the Indians said, no, we don't want to. And so they had to make the land profitable somehow, and they needed people to work it, so this is what they cleaned England. And they bragged at the time about what a boon it was to the rest of the people in England and how the economy just fired right up. When they ran short of people there, they went to Ireland, did the same thing. They headed for France, and the King of France told them, you come here and I'll kill you. But my point is this, we have gone through cyclically periods where we cull the elderly, we cull the sick, and that's what they're doing now. They are getting rid of these people, and so many of these people, John, were made sick by pharmaceuticals, by contaminated food, contaminated water, and they just want rid of us. We're no longer productive in the sense of we don't pay taxes, and if we're not paying taxes, what use have they got for us? None. But I consider this whole thing a test run to see what the public's reaction would be to large numbers of the elderly dropping over like flies. And from what I can tell, it's like, well, as long as it wasn't me. And that this just, we're being culled. And the thing is, once they get away with it on this level, the next one, you know, is the rest of you. They're going to decide which of the rest of you should live or should die. And I think it's quite smart of them to use a bioweapon, which I consider this to be, because this way they can say it was an act of God. It wasn't us. We didn't fire a shot. It was God did this. And all of this just, and people just, like I say, the idea that they just went to their knees. And I'm sorry, I don't care what happens. But I'd rather go out on my feet fighting than on my knees begging. Now, this is the way I feel about it. And you need to stand up out there. You need to get up off your dead butts and quit being a bunch of willy-nillies and being afraid of something that most likely doesn't even exist. Don't take that vaccine they're coming out with. I'm telling you, I'm warning you, do not take it. It is not anything near what you think a vaccine should be, and a fair number of people are going to die from it, in my estimation. And you'll line right up like a bunch of damn fools. And yeah, give me a shot. These state governments getting away with absolutely destroying their own citizens' economy, their livelihoods, their families. We put these people in office. Why aren't we taking them out? I don't understand that. I don't understand this mindset of going along with all of this and this fear factor. Of course, I'm a person, I refuse to live in fear about anything. I might be afraid of something, but it is not going to become a way of life for me. I'm not going to succumb to that fear. And I don't get it, John. I don't get it. You talk and I talk and so many others talk. And I want to say this too. Somebody said something about mainstream media, and I said they've got less than 10% of the audience they had 10 years ago because it's nothing but BS. And why do you think alternative radio has boomed like it has? You'll find better journalism, better research, better reporting on little shows like ours than you will on these big multi-billion dollar stations being broadcast over the airwaves. This is all looking them in the face. But, John, I anticipate in the next 6 months to the year they're going to shut all of us down. And I don't know. But these people, I guess I'm disappointed in Americans. I saw that big protest over there in Berlin. Tens of thousands of people stood up all at once, packed those streets as far as you could see, building to building, down the side streets, and declared no lockdown, no mask. We're done with this. This is a fallacy. What's the matter with America? Where is the fight? Where is the fight? I remember when I was younger and coming up, all the change took place on college campuses. We fought the Vietnam War on college campuses. We, you know, a lot of social and political change occurred as a result of the passion on college campuses. But these kids now, they're just brain dead. They got no interest. They've got no understanding. They have nothing. And it's like they look around and all of this is happening around them. And even the illogical factor, the fact that this logically cannot be happening the way they say it. If it did, you wouldn't have to have lied about anything. But you lied about everything. And it's just like, so, what do you want me to do? Where is the passion for our country? I wrote an article just yesterday. It's the first one out called The Political Atheist. And I talked about, you know, if you're clinging to this left-right thing, that you're probably not going to like this article a bit. And I talked about Trump. This man is a pathological liar. Absolutely a buffoon on so many levels. His own family says he can't be trusted. He has no principles. And then you catch him in all this FUBAR stuff at these rallies and the tweets and everything else. It's like a small child with a toupee on. But anyway, and I'm watching this article, and I really expected people to come back and at least argue with me. Nothing. And I'm thinking, I mean, it got over 1,500 hits on it. Nobody said anything. What is wrong with Americans, John? What happened to us? Where's our fight? I don't get it.
Well, Marty, you've been talking for several minutes. Boy, I got a laundry list of things just to cover all your commentary, which was spectacular, by the way. First of all, remember Katrina. When Katrina hit, the lights got shut off. And again, you don't hear this story anymore, but it was sure circulating back in the day. Department of Homeland Security went in and shut off the working electricity. They shut it off.
Yes.
And the sheriff showed up and literally put a gun on Department of Homeland Security and escorted them off the property and says, come back and I'll shoot you and turn the electricity back on. That's fact, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's perfect. Second, you folks are experiencing what is called psychological warfare. Psychological warfare, I'd like to just remind you folks, is a war crime, just in case you wanted to hang anybody for their psychological warfare activities. Something to think about. All right. All of us were talking about Obamacare several years ago, how it was going to be used to ration health care. Oh, no, y'all are just conspiracy theorists. Y'all are just crazy people. What do you think is going on right now?
Uh-huh.
Everything we said it was. Folks, this is what's called vulture capitalism. Vulture capitalism. It's an actual philosophy the bankers use. They come in and they crash the economy and they buy everything up for pennies on the dollars. And they've done this repetitively over the centuries. You know, 1933 was an example of that. 1907 was an example of that. There was one in the 1890s. And, of course, the 70s, all this stuff. And what they're doing is they're doing it again now. They've been pulling credit. I told you folks about that the last time I was on the show. People's credit cards are either being deleted or their credit limits are being reduced. And, on that same note, we talked about the fact that there's a whole bunch of coins that are, quote-unquote, supposedly not available. Yet the Federal Reserve Bank is noting on their paperwork that they filed that their quantity of coins in their stockpile has gone way up recently, Marty.
Well, imagine that.
Kind of fit in with what we, Didn't you hear me say a while back about how, you know, I think that they're just pulling everything. They're pulling all the cash and they're pulling all the coins and they're putting it back out because they want to move everybody into this new system. Okay?
Yep.
Because I'm here to tell you, folks, if you're unemployed and you have to have gas in your car or you need the electricity kept on or you need to buy a little bit of groceries or some diapers for the baby, guess what? The first place you're going to go look for, you're going to be looking under those couch cushions and in that little piggy bank, and you can find a scrounge at 50 cents or a dollar that you need extra. Trust me on this. Been there, done that. Been there, done that. All right. Now, here's another coincidence. You know how I feel about coincidences, right, Marty?
Yes.
Several years ago, I've been selling online since 1999, okay? And we've been fighting and internet tax for all of those years. And yet, under this quote-unquote conservative, quote-unquote Republican, he's a rhino, ladies and gentlemen, Republican in name only. And by the way, like Marty, I agree with her. It's two wings on the same damn bird, so it's damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I like to call them the Rebloodicans and the Democrats, okay? Just in case you're curious of my philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But, interesting thing happened, Marty.
What?
They got their internet taxes passed, so now everybody gets to pay taxes when they buy something off of eBay from some little schmuck like me. It was almost like a plan for the fact that all of these stores were going to close their brick and mortars storefronts, and, you know, how are we going to make up for some of those billions and trillions that are no longer going to be passing through the coffers of government? Oh, well, we just change it to where it's all internet, where we can track everybody's movement. hey, we now get to see what you are really buying. You can't use that cash thing anymore to hide from us. We're sitting there watching in real time. Okay, he bought this, this, and this, this. Oh, he's a potential terrorist. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
And again, Marty, what you were talking about there earlier, you're right about the small guy and, you know, versus what we are, which is investigative reporters, versus what the crime syndicate is and their little paid puppeteers, which are nothing more than propaganda ministers. Okay?
Yep.
Big difference between those. And remember, folks, we've talked about this. The, according to the court case, the, hey, all that these TVs sitting there with the quote-unquote news, they're just entertainment. They're
mm-hmm.
just entertainment. All right. And to answer that question you asked me several times, Marty, they bred the fight out of us, darling. They bred it out of us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Think about back, you know, I'm a Generation X. I didn't have any fear of cops as a kid. They weren't generally bad people. You know, I'm sure they were not doing some very nice things in some cases, but for the most part, they were not corrupt to the degree that they are now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they weren't shooting as many people as they are now, or maybe they were and we just didn't hear about it. But either way, it doesn't matter. They had been militarized, and that happened in my generation. That happened in my generation. And, pardon me, what's that?
Okay.
Sorry, I had to sneeze. And the other thing is fluoride. Fluoride in the water. Who was the first people to put fluoride in the water? Well, that was the Nazis.
Germany.
In the prison camp.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
And again, no such thing as coincidence there, right? And,
right.
of course, drugs and alcohol have been a huge influx in since the Vietnam era. Okay, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, a plant is not a drug. Let me say that again. A plant is not a drug. Now, I've never partaken of the plant question, but it has been used for generations and history for a lot of very good things. And even the science says that cannabis has specifically been built into our body to use, okay?
Yes, we have cannabis receptors.
That's something
receptors.
To think about.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And this was the way that they targeted those protesters back in the 60s and 70s. Well, everybody was using cannabis back then. And they changed it into a legal word and called it marijuana. So if you ever get drugged into a kangaroo court and they sit there and try to use the word marijuana and you say, what are you talking about? I had some cannabis. That's just a plant. You can't make plants illegal. You know? And remember,
yep.
there's a big difference between legal and lawful, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
And the way I like to describe it is this. In Nazi Germany, it was very much legal to murder people. At the end of the war, when the Allies were there, all those people that were busy murdering people found themselves hung or shot for their war crimes. They discovered, well, it may have been legal, but it was not lawful. Same thing applies here. And while on the subject of matter of getting shot, Kyla brought up a point over there on the other show this evening.
Okay.
He had heard a woman that was mentioning the getting shot in the head with these scanners. And, of course,
yes.
it goes after the center part of your brain, which is, of course, the very important part that combines the left side and the right side. Get you to think some scientifically, and they call it a third eye for a reason. But the one point that he made that suggested was, folks, when they try to shoot you there, tell them, no, you don't want to do that here. Just do it in my arm somewhere or something like that, or my hand. Because, again, anything that's going, sending singles, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'd like to be able to talk tonight, Marty. waves into your mind can't be a good thing. You know, I got this cell phone stuck to my ear. That's definitely going to fry my brain, too. But, again, this is we got to think about things, folks,
mm-hmm.
and we have to protect ourselves. And while we're on the subject matter of things going into our brain and going back to your conversation earlier, again, 5G, folks, that's going to be one of the tools that they use to bring about this operation that Martin was talking about a little bit earlier. Because as you're sitting there looking in the sky and you see all that really interesting stuff coming out of it, you know, whether it's some guy claiming to be God, Muhammad, Buddha, whatever, don't care what, in your mind, you're actually going to hear him talking to you.
Yes. Yes.
In your own voice. And you're saying to yourself, oh, wow, God is talking to me. No, God isn't talking to you. That's the equipment that's behind the door that you don't see that's busy running, and it's running thoughts directly into your brain. People, the technology is there. The
mm-hmm.
technology is there. So make no mistake, this is a real thing.
Yes.
The world is changing so fast, people. And, you know, what one group of people might consider to be magic, the other group of people, when they sit there and break it all down and show you the science behind it, it's not magic at all. It's just science. And believe you me, men and women have been the most studied creature in all history. We are nothing. Nothing like anything else. And they got us nailed. You want to know what they know about you? Just assume there isn't anything they don't know about you. That's
mm-hmm.
the safest thing you can do. Just assume mm-hmm. they know everything. Because in the end, I can assure you they do. And if they don't, they've got a computer that's got an algorithm that can pretty much figure it out. And you've heard me say it on this show here. You know, if I'm not on about 20 government watch lists, I consider myself failing miserably. You know, I think as a society, we have forgotten what it's like to be rebels. You know,
yes.
we root for the small fry all the time. Look at all the most favorite movie that you've ever looked at and said, yeah, yeah, rah, rah, for the hero or heroine there that is busy fighting the power. And, of course, the hero or heroine is simply a few people fighting an established corrupt society. Well, guess what? That's the society you're living in right now, too, people. Still have the same results, but you've got to have the willpower to fight. And fighting doesn't necessarily even imply shooting people. I would encourage people to be armed to the teeth, but that's not what I'm saying here. All you have to do is go back to the word that I said earlier that is so powerful. No. And then turn around and hold these criminals accountable. Hold them accountable. Get together, people. Get them educated. Show them what's going on. And folks, if you've been listening to Marty or listening to me for any period of time, you already know what's going on. We've told you over and over and over again. You can't sit there and claim ignorance if you've heard more than 3 or 4 shows by either one of us. Okay, it's not possible. We put it all out there. And again, folks, we don't kid when we say we risk our lives for some of the conversations that we have, because we do. They don't like whistleblowers very much. But they don't even hide anymore. They're not even hiding the agenda anything. It's all out for everybody to see, telling you in real time what they're doing. And they're just going ahead and doing it. And you've heard me talk about that. It's called a contract offer. And when we don't stop them, guess what that means? It means we consented to them. And if the terms of the contract are, we're going to poison you, and we're going to kill you, and we're going to take away your health care, and we're going to destroy your economy, your livelihood, your families. Hey, that was the contract offer. Y'all didn't stand up to us and say no, so guess what? We got contract. Offer and acceptance in their world, ladies and gentlemen. The crime syndicate uses offer and acceptance. And when I say crime syndicate, that's governments, that's your attorneys, that's your clerks masquerading as judges. Offer and acceptance, but that's not a legitimate contract, folks. And again, you've heard me talk about this. A legitimate contract has 4 elements. 1, full disclosure. 2, mutual consideration. That means something gets something out of both parties get something out of it. A meeting of the minds. That's where 2 people agree to all the details. And 4, 2 wedding autographs or signatures. Remember, men and women have autographs. Corporate presidents have signatures. important to know the meaning of words, people. But what we have, are you getting any mutual consideration as they shut down your economy, throw you out of your work, steal your kids? Are you getting any mutual consideration as they steal your home? Any mutual consideration as they sit there and dictate to you to wear a cloth over your face or to travel at a certain rate of speed? Any mutual consideration with mandating that you have a piece of laminated plastic in your pocket? Any mutual consideration with regards to whether or not you can smoke a plant? Or even for that matter, take it for other healthy reasons. You can eat it too. By the way, I know of specifically one woman who had to use marijuana to keep from throwing up her food, because once she became pregnant, it was a very big problem keeping food down. And it was the only thing she could do in order to keep the food down with the morning sickness. The only thing she could use. She tried everything else. It did not work. But if she goes into a hospital and tests positive, what happens? They yank the kid. And remember, folks, cannabis has been a part of the doctor's bag for more years than you can possibly imagine. Just something to think about. Back to you, Marty.
You know, I listened to all this, John, and what people are talking about, and there's a lot of talk, but there's no action. Excuse me. There's no action. When you suggest getting up and protesting, and I don't mean rioting, I mean protesting, they want to do that. They could get in trouble. You're already in trouble. You just don't even realize how much trouble you're in. What is concerning me these days most is this vaccine that they're coming out with, which, like I say, is not a vaccine in the sense you think it is. You, like all vaccines, are going to be intentionally infected with God knows what. And this is how vaccines supposedly work. And supposedly they create antibodies in your body to fight off future infections of that disease, whatever it is. Antibodies don't fight off infection. All they are is evidence that an infection of that kind has been present at some time in the past in your body. That's all it is. It's like a clue. And but they think that they have some kind of protection from this. No, you got infected, intentionally infected, with numerous things. I'm reading about these vaccines and I don't go to people's blogs and their speculation. I go actually to the scientists and doctors who are concerned about it. And Philip mentioned this when he had come on here a couple weeks ago with us, John, about these nanogels and how this will implant. I don't understand it fully. It will implant this gel that will be absorbed into our body that will attach, and we actually become a receptor, 5G. It'll interface with your phone, your computer. It's just scary, and it's considered the new transhumanism. I don't know why being human isn't enough. What's wrong with being flawed and, you know, and imperfect? And but they found this much more compatible and acceptable than the chips that they were putting in servicemen's heads so that they could interface with them. And it was like a computer chip. And they could communicate with them, but the guys found this very disturbing, and a couple of them committed suicide over it and all of that. But this just goes in your body, and it attaches to various parts of your body. And it actually kind of grows. It's a RNA, a replicating nucleic acid. I don't know what they're doing. And, you know, and I'm going to bring this up, and I know probably people are going to groan. I don't care. Where the hell are these churches? The ones that scream about God and the end times are here and, you know, put your faith in the Lord and all of that. Why are you not standing up and screaming bloody murder? I don't understand. You'll interfere in everything else, but you won't get involved in this. I don't understand that. And as far as religion goes in this, you need to set that aside. This isn't about religion. The reason I bring this up is I got people messaging me now about how these are the end times and all the signs are there. The signs have always been there since the day Christ supposedly died. So get over it. And but about how this scripture says this and this scripture says, get a grip here. You are doing yourself a disservice by engaging in this instead of paying attention to what's actually happening and trying to figure out what you can do to bring a stop to it. As it stands now, I think we're too far gone, John. I hate to be pessimistic about anything, but I truly think we are too far gone. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I don't, it makes me want to cry. You know, it's like you want to go out and stand on top of a mountain and wave goodbye. Whatever we were supposed to be, we never will be. Whatever we had become is long gone. And what we are becoming is terrifying. And I just don't get any of it. And I don't understand what happens in some people's minds that allows them to think that certain portions of the rest of us are expendable and disposable. Where did you get the thought in your head that you were so damn special that you could decide who should live and who should die? Who was acceptable and who wasn't? I think, you know, when they talk about depopulation, Bill Gates particularly, I think he and his wife ought to step up and be the first to go. Those are my thoughts. That Fauci you talked about, one of the most corrupt individuals, and has been in government through several administrations. Why that man isn't behind bars or hanging from a gallows, I don't know. Bill Gates right along with him. These are just things that are going on. And yet people will sit and argue about the stupidest things. You can't do anything about politics. And they, like they talked to somebody, said something about they're having the Republican convention. I call it the big lie-a-thon. The Democrats just had their big lie-a-thon, and now the other big lie-a-thon is going on, and this is all they're going to do. They're going to lie to you. And the worst part of it is you know they're going to lie to you. But you've put yourself in one camp or the other, and you refuse to let go of that, even knowing it's a false paradigm. You know it is. You know they're lying to you. Why do you support these people? John, I don't know what your thoughts are about the coming election. First off, we've got a president who is openly and brazenly trying to rig or wreck the election. And yet all those Bible-waving, God-fearing Republicans are sitting silent while he does it. And I don't see this election taking place. He's already said that he doesn't know if he'll accept the results of the election. What he means is, if they don't reelect me, I'm not leaving. But this is where our military is supposed to step in and remove him. I don't see this man leaving willingly. He also claimed at a rally in South Dakota that, or was it in Wisconsin, I believe, that since he claimed the FBI spied on him during the 2016 election, he should get 8 more years. He deserved that because they spied on him. Okay. And, but it just, I don't know. And I look at this, and like I say here, a lot of people say, I'm not voting. And I think I'm in the same camp. I just refuse to be told that this is what I have to pick from. Clinton and Trump were bad enough, but Trump and Biden, it's like crazy and crazier. I can't do it.
Marty,
I can't do it.
Marty?
Yes?
I'll ask you a question here, but I need to know an answer because I may take it farther.
Okay.
Do we have 11 minutes or do we have 41 minutes? Because it'll determine
11.
How I respond.
7.
Okay. I want I want you to think about something very different, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to think outside the box. Outside the box. Forget a minute Jackass 1 and Jackass 2. Okay? Forget their ones. Think about an option that is not on the table. Think about where all of a sudden there's a controversy of such a high degree that the election is literally thrown out. What is the next option on the table? Well, what does the Constitution say? The Constitution says the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, becomes president.
Oh,
now, you
God,
ladies and gentlemen,
me.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you folks. So think outside the box a little bit, too, folks. And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's a real possibility. And, you know, don't even get me started on Nancy. Okay, I want to hit a couple really quick points, okay? Folks, the economic scheme is a Ponzi scheme. You have digital illusions of wealth. That's all this cryptocurrency crap is, okay? And that's what they're wanting to inject you with. Bill Gates has a patent on that. We've already covered that on this show before, so I'm not going to get into all this. Technocracy is rising, okay? Technocracy is rising. And I wrote an article, too, here a couple days ago talking about crypto, crypt. What is a crypt? A place for dead bodies to go, okay? It's not a coincidence they're calling it cryptocurrency. The dead bodies need a current running through them, and that's what they'll be injecting you with so that you've heard me say it already, you're going to be a walking, talking Bitcoin. All right? Now, this is nothing more than more deep state tactics to overcome and overthrow and do all the garbage that these criminals do. The final point I was going to make to bring in to all this other stuff, again, with all these endless distractions, and all the course, the rioting, and again, you are 100% correct. Protesting and rioting are two very different things. When you're out there burning down buildings and killing people and assaulting people, that's not protesting, ladies and gentlemen. That's assault, battery, and arson. Those are crimes. All right? Now, for folks that don't remember her, okay, but Catherine Austin Fitz, she's a talk show host, and she runs her own company right now. But she used to be in charge of HUD, Housing and Urban Development. And one of the points that she made is they were looking at all the burnt buildings in Minneapolis, all of the burned buildings in Minneapolis. They were putting it on the map. And it seems that a high percentage of them are on this thing called Lake Boulevard, and they called that an opportunity zone. Okay. And she says this is just a modification of the original HUD redevelopment game. That's where they burned down buildings in order to save costs so that they can buy these property areas on the cheap and then come in there with their, put up their mega whatever, which is, of course, going to mean more financial benefit for them. And, folks, if you're not aware of it, again, this is the quote-unquote law that says they can do it, that they can choose to give property owned by one individual to somebody else because it will generate more tax revenue for the corporation masquerading as government. So, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, think about the big picture, because the big picture is certainly not thinking about you. But if you're not aware of what's going on behind the scenes, it's going to come back and bite you in your behind in a way that you do not want. Prepare for the worst. And when I say that, I mean it in every sense. Have the ability to defend yourself. Have the ability to survive by having some food. Have people that you can network with, grow your own garden, have some seeds, have a water purification system. And, you know, if you've got people that have health issues, do your very best to figure out what kind of things that you can do to offset if they can't get the medications that they need. Okay, and then recognize that maybe there's some things that you can do that the big pharma doesn't want you to know about.
Right.
We're running out of time, so Marty, I'm going to turn it back over to you, hon.
Okay. We're going to keep on this in successive shows. If you have questions or comments, I'm no longer taking phone calls. I'm all done with that. Too many people call in and go off on a tangent about something else unrelated, and I don't have time for that. Send me an email or message me on Facebook while we're on air, and I'll read your questions or I'll make whatever arrangements I need to for your commenting. And But we're going to stay on this for God's sake. Please get a spine. Please get a spine. Me, John, and so many others are out there sounding the alarm, telling you what's really going on, showing you the evidence, the documentation, and still you sit there. And it just, it breaks my heart. It truly does. You just sit there. We give our time to warn you, to provide you with the information you need, and still you sit there. I don't know what else we can do. I think John's right. It's going to be every man for himself. Make sure that you are armed, you have enough food laid by, because that's the next thing. If you haven't been watching these stores, even the big bully on the block, Walmart, you go in there, the shelves are now at least one-third empty. They're doing it slowly, but they're emptying the stores out. And if you think there's a big warehouse sitting somewhere that food's going to drop out of the ceiling and restock those shelves, you are sadly mistaken.
I have to interject.
Okay.
One of my good friends here, his significant other, her ex-husband, lives out in the quote-unquote plains, if you will, where all of the groceries that we eat come from. And
right.
She got word from him that they are plowing under their crops for the year.
Yes.
Because prices
yes.
are just not high enough.
Right,
and, folks,
and they would rather let people starve. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, and remember, they're getting paid financially to not grow things also, Big Agri is. So, folks, you've got to realize this is not a joke. This is a very real game, and it has very real consequences. Back to you, Marty.
Yes. Yeah, out in Ohio, they just had Idaho, potato country. There was someone with some money who went out there and bought, I don't know how many tens of thousands of pounds of potatoes that they were going to leave rot because they couldn't get the price they wanted. He bought them all, boxed them up, and is getting them out to people. John's correct. Get seeds. Try to buy traditional seeds. If you buy genetically modified seeds, there's virtually no nutrition in it, but it's better, I guess, than nothing. Gardening. Learn to garden. It's an easy thing. But you're going to have to learn a little bit about self-survival, being self-sufficient. You need a water purifier. That's going to be coming at a premium, too. And quite frankly, on any of the city water systems, I would not drink the water out of the tap. You don't know what's in there. You go out to D.C., and the first thing they tell you out there is don't drink the water. Do not drink the water. And when I asked why, they said because the water is laced with lithium to keep people docile. And I thought, well, isn't that sweet? But they're doing this all over the place. D.C. is not particular to this. But anyway, we're going to stay on this, and we're going to keep talking. If you have any questions, you want more information or whatever else, give us, and we'll get it to you, whatever you need. We'll get it to you. And, of course, you can always find John on Facebook. That's John Lucron, and he's always on air. You want to give you and Phillips radio show?
Yeah, blogtalkradio.com, same as you're hearing Marty here. It's Kyla Davenport as well. Just look him up. And you can also find me on IlluminatiTrainingAcademy.com. If you want to find me on Facebook, it's John. The last name is spelled Lecrone. So it would be JOHN.LECKRONE.16. That will get you directly to me. My friends list is getting filled up pretty quick. I do teach law, I do teach history, and I will teach you all the things that the crime syndicate doesn't want you to know in an effort to wake you up to see the bigger picture. Because, folks, you don't have the luxury of being ignorant anymore. You don't
there
have
you
that
go.
Luxury.
There you go, John. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you, John, for being on with me again tonight. And I say we'll be back next Monday night. We'll be talking some more. Have a paper and pencil handy. And we'll see you then. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Will.